It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Jake Lester in with your Top 4 at 4, which is brought to you this afternoon by WaveTech Medical. Catch the wave online, wavetechmedical.com.
Number 1, Tennessee just offered a 2020 prospect who just recently hit the open market again. Van Fillinger is a 4-star defensive lineman who plays for Corner Canyon in Draper, Utah, and committed to Texas over the summer on July 18th, but he just announced his decommitment from the Longhorns on Sunday. The very next day, yesterday, Fillinger tweeted out that the Vols had extended a scholarship offer to him, and according to 247 Sports, he is the number 137 overall prospect and number 8 strong side defensive end in the 2020 class. 6'3", 250-pound lineman is a 4-star in the composite rankings too. And along with both Tennessee and Texas, he also holds offers from LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Washington, USC, and Utah.
Yes, please. 4-star defensive lineman. What's that offer list again, Jake?
Tennessee, Texas, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, Utah, and others.
Yes, please. I'll take him. Sign him up today. Go get him, Germ.
I saw his Twitter. He's a pretty big guy. I think he could be playing.
Have you seen Ohio State, LSU's defensive line? They don't have small guys there. It'd be pretty big dudes.
Number 2, Iowa State coach Matt Campbell has agreed to a contract extension through the 2025 season, the school announced today. Campbell had been mentioned as a candidate for Florida State, Arkansas, and other head coaching vacancies, but instead will remain at Iowa State, where he's 26-24 in 4 seasons with 3 consecutive bowl appearances. Cyclones, who went 7-5 this year, will earn their bowl destination on Sunday, having beaten every single Big 12 opponent during Campbell's tenure.
Dang.
Can he win the Big 12?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, yeah, I mean,
I feel like if he didn't do it last year,
yeah,
maybe not.
I mean, Texas is not going in the right direction. Oklahoma is losing Jalen, maybe Lincoln Riley.
You think he's just sitting there waiting on Texas? All of a sudden, it kind of feels like Tom Herman is.
What if Lincoln goes to Dallas? Matt Campbell goes to Oklahoma?
I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You get extended for through 25.
What's his buyout up to now, though?
Texas could afford it.
Oklahoma could afford it.
I mean, these schools haven't been chronically mismanaged the way we have and have a big war chest sitting around. They've been paying buyouts.
If Texas comes out next year and loses 5 or 6 games,
he'll be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to start the season on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Number 3, Miami and South Carolina have scheduled games for the 2026 and 2027 seasons, the schools announced today. The Gamecocks will host the Hurricanes on September 5th, 2026, and Miami will be the home team for a game on September 11th, 2027. They last played in 2014 at the Duck Commander Independence Bowl in Shreveport, which South Carolina won 24-21, and the last time they had a home-and-home was 1986 and 1987, both won by Miami.
It was back during their glory years.
0% chance that Manny Diaz and Will Muschamp are coaching when those games
happen. Yeah, not a snowball's chance.
Who will be the coaches?
Lane Kiffin at Miami.
Yep, that's what I was about to say.
And Butch Jones at South Carolina.
Be kind.
I feel like South Carolina is going to have some kind of really good coach now that's just towards the end of their career by that point.
That's usually how they do it.
Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier and
Ron Rivera.
They did the up-and-comer thing, and now they're going to go old man again.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Home and home, though.
Where'd Rivera play college football?
Ron Rivera?
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
I don't know. Where did
he play for the Bears? Right. Yeah, he played for the Bears.
Oh, he did. Right. He was on the '85 team.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He went to Cal.
Huh.
Ron Rivera at Cal.
Golden Bears. Is that it, Jake?
All-American linebacker. No, we got number
4. Number 4.
Jacksonville University has decided to discontinue its football program. The school made the announcement today, saying it spent more than a year evaluating its athletic department and exploring ways to position itself for long-term growth and success. The Dolphins have participated in the non-scholarship Pioneer Football League since 1998, and they finished 3-9 this season, the 4th under Coach Ian Shields. The school is offering full tuition scholarships to every football player who chooses to stay until graduation, and they will also honor the contracts of all football coaches and assist in their job searches.
Got to hit that quota of keeping students there for state.
Thank you, Jake. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by WaveTech Medical. And folks, if you suffer from chronic pain, any sort of chronic pain situation, whether it's neuropathy in your feet due to diabetes or chemotherapy treatment, chronic back pain, lower back pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, things of that nature, if this pain is causing you to miss activities that you once enjoyed, then it's time for you to turn to WaveTech for lasting relief from these annoying issues. WaveTech utilizes acoustical wave therapy to provide regeneration of blood vessels, nerves, muscles, and tendons to provide health and healing to painful conditions. If you're tired of the adjustments, if you're tired of the injections, the pills, and other Band-Aid approaches and treatments, then call WaveTech at 865-761-4401. That's 761-4401, or just go online to wavetechmedical.com to find out more about acoustic wave therapy. At wavetechmedical.com, you can set up a free consultation. That's right, a free consultation. Go to wavetechmedical.com.
I have breaking news.
To the Fan Run's breaking news desk we go.
I'm going to mess this name up. Vay Cajo, linebacker Tennessee was going after, three-star linebacker, has decommitted from the University of Nevada. This comes after Jeremy Pruitt just went in-house with him yesterday.
It's got to be a good sign.
It's got to be a good sign. He's going to be – he's taking an official visit in the next 2 weeks to Tennessee.
Yeah, he was going to come in for the Vanderbilt game and decided to postpone that, so – it seems
so we're
like,
getting ourselves all jacked up about scooping up a three-star from Nevada. Is that where we're at now?
Well, I mean, you make a good point, Bear. I mean,
you, just a few minutes ago, we were talking, you were getting all giddy over somebody's offer list.
This is,
I mean,
big
we
dude.
Might as well just go ahead and shut down the program.
Not saying that, Russ.
Recruiting these types of three-star athletes that were committed to Nevada. I mean, it really is kind of pointless when you think about it.
Shut it down.
This is also a pipeline they're trying to sell.
Here's the deal. I Cajo is a guy that obviously they've identified that they like. There are a couple of other, you know, out-of-state guys that they've identified that they like. You got to finish strong, obviously. But to me, this recruiting class, I will judge it when it's done by what they get done in state. You've got to start finishing in state. This is why Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach, this is why he's on the chopping block. This is why. It's not a great year for Tennessee in state as far as in-state prospects go. But you do have, for some reason, a group of very highly touted defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not as good as it has been in the past, but you do have – Omari Thomas at Briarcrest Christian in Memphis, Jay Hardy down at McCauley, Trayvon Ribka at Dixon County, I believe, and then, of course, Tyler Barron right here in Knoxville, and Dallas Walker from Smyrna. 5 4-star defensive linemen in the state of Tennessee, and Tennessee, as we sit here today, currently has how many of those guys committed? Zero. That's why your defensive line coach is on the chopping block. That's why – I mean, it's unacceptable. 5 4-star D linemen in state, and you don't have any of them committed? I think they land at least one, if not two or three, of those guys when it's all said and done. But the fact that we're this close to the early signing day, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow, by the way.
I bet we'll get Barron.
And we're in an absolute dogfight to land two or three of these dudes. It's an indictment on your in-state recruiting. And if you fail miserably here, if you strike out or you only get one, you only get Tyler Barron because his dad's on staff and he just can't say no, then guess what? You're going to have a new D-line coach next year and maybe several other guys.
Yeah, the bad part is he's actually, you know, as far as that part of his job, he's really, really good at it. Our defensive line has progressed and been developed this year.
But you got to have you can't let this keep happening. I mean, like, we talked yesterday about T. Higgins and Amari Rodgers, and it's like, okay, well, we were going through a coaching change basically at the time. Butch was flaming out. Like, it sucks. It sucks really bad that we lost those dudes. But you could kind of see what they're like. This is year two of Pruitt. They've been recruiting these guys since day one. They've been recruiting them for 2 years now. The program appears to be on the upswing, and we're swinging and missing. Like, that's not okay.
Okay, Jay Hardy situation. When you look into that, Hardy has come out and said he didn't really, I don't want to say, not have much a relationship with Rocker.
Well,
that's an issue. This is where I'm getting at. Why it didn't Pruitt or somebody on that staff, Drew Hughes, somebody over there in the recruiting department that handles these guys and texts these guys and tweets them all the time, why aren't they on this 2 months ago and he's just now coming out and saying it after committing to Auburn?
Four-star defensive lineman.
Who you
in Chattanooga, an hour and a half. This is not in the mid-state. This is not in Memphis. This is an hour and a half away from your campus. And you don't get him.
Which one's the kid that got cheap-shotted?
That's him, Jay Hardy.
Jay Hardy.
The Ribka kid goes to Kentucky?
Right. They were in to see him.
It sounds yesterday. Like maybe they didn't want Dallas Walker. They didn't recruit him as hard. So I don't, you know, I mean, he's going to Texas A&M. Like, Jimbo Fisher knows good defensive linemen.
I'm just saying there is a process over there at the university and every single one in the conference, all around college football. You have director of recruiting personnel that is in that house over there that is supposed to be, their job is to make sure these coaches are where they need to be. They're talking to who they need to be talking to. They're sending the text. You know, after every game, what do coaches do? They go home, they get on the phone with recruits, they talk to them after a win or even a loss, and they take care of business. Tennessee's had the opportunity to get down to see Hardy multiple times this year, and they just didn't live up to
it. Unacceptable. I mean, that's
it's like, unacceptable.
You're Pruitt, you got to fire several people over that. I mean, you cannot have that happen. I'm sorry to call for people's jobs. I know these people have families, but what are we doing here, guys?
But also, I will say this, too. When you go on a big visit like he took to Auburn, which was going to be his last, and Tennessee knew that, Auburn brought out anything and everything they could for Jay Hardy. And it wasn't just staying in a nice hotel on campus. There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on when recruiting.
Oh, I know.
The hotel walkthroughs.
And I've said all along, people say, well, do you want to cheat, Russell? I'm like, well, no, not really. All I want to do is to do what everybody else is doing. Like, it, you know, as long as it's not harming prospects or their family, like, yeah, I mean, if I
mean, we're not talking Patino at Louisville.
Nobody knows what happened, how the Bagman thing works. But if that's a thing and that's what's swaying prospects, and I'm not saying that's what swayed Jay Hardy, but no. I'm sure it's happened before. Like, if that's happening, then I just want to be doing what everybody else is doing. That's all. I want a level playing field, because on a level playing field, that kid should choose Tennessee. How long a drive is it from Chattanooga to Auburn, Trey?
About 5.5 hours, 6 hours.
Versus an hour and a half to Tennessee?
Which is just enough of a distance for a young college kid to be away from their family.
If the playing field is level, that kid should be a Vol.
I agree with that. I think Tennessee got caught with their hand in the cookie jar thinking they already had him. Didn't have to put too much work into him.
That's insane. I mean, that's if that's the case, that's absolutely idiotic.
And again, I'm not just throwing that out there. I'm saying that.
Sure. I mean, you gotta hold people accountable.
Had him.
And Jeremy Pruitt he did a good job about this last year. After the first year, he looked and said, "All right, you know, year one was rough. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working. Let's go get Jim Chaney and Derek Ansley."
Right.
After the smoke clears here, this recruiting class, he's got to do that again and say, all right, you know, these coordinators are good. Obviously, I'm not going anywhere. Like what T. Martin adds to the staff, like what Niedermeyer adds. Where can we get better? We need to lock down our in-state prospects.
And you like what Yak is doing.
And you're going to have to make some hard decisions and let some guys go, and then you're going to have to go out there and find – so a hired gun recruiter, and you're going to have to find somebody with deep, deep, deep ties inside the state of Tennessee in the high school football community who can go out and get these kids so they stop leaving the state.
See, I think McClendon would come to Tennessee if that position is
McClendon
offered.
I mean, you're going to hear him. You're going to hear Tosh Lupoy. Those guys don't have
– I don't think he makes it to the season.
They need a Tennessee guy at some point. They need somebody – and I'm not talking about University of Tennessee, like a state of Tennessee high school football. These guys who knows all these – the 7-on-7 coaches, all the high school coaches.
And not just a quality control guy either.
Yeah, knows the scene. All right, stay with us. It's The Drive. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here, 546-8200. Back with more Fan Run Radio after this.
Some.
Back here on The Drive Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. You want to jump in here on The Drive. Let's bang through some phone calls. T-Carp is up next. Good afternoon, T-Carp.
Hey, Russell, Bear, and Trey. Hope everybody's doing well this cold Tuesday. You're saying you need someone that knows Tennessee high school football. Is that correct, Russell?
I'm five steps down the road, know exactly where you're going, but I'll play along. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's what I said, T-Carp.
So someone who might know some quarterback, how to coach quarterbacks, you say.
Well, I didn't say that, but I suppose that would be an added benefit.
An added benefit, maybe. Who's done some 7-on-7, who may be a Tennessee high school football legend, you say. I know a guy. Don't you, Russell?
I think I know where you're going with this, like a Gary Rankin or Scott Meadows, somebody like that, maybe somebody with
something like that. Someone who may have completely owned both of those guys. That is actually in the college coaching world. George Quarles could come in and maybe take the Chris Winkie role.
George Quarles.
I mean, we all know he's a hell of a recruiter. He did it for years out there at Maryland. Recruited West, Bearden, Farragut, all over West Knoxville.
Well, I mean, if you think such a good recruiter, you would love to have him. I would rather have him than Winkie.
I prefer Rankin myself.
I mean, I know you would, but Alcoa has got to have a coach over there to coach those phenomenal athletes they keep getting. So, what's the matter with it? What's the problem with him coming over and doing that? I don't know how good he is at recruiting, actually, but I want him on the staff. I just want him on the staff before he goes somewhere else.
Yeah, but
personally.
Why would he come to Knoxville?
Why
would he come in and take a position job when he could probably get – wouldn't you imagine he could get an OC job somewhere soon?
He's an OC.
Well, no. I mean that better OC job sometime soon.
I don't know.
He still loves Maryville and would love to have his kids back in the city schools here. So, $100,000 or whatever.
Hey, T-Carp, I don't want to get your hopes up, but I mean, I've heard that dating back to last year that he's a guy that's on Pruitt's radar. And you know how Pruitt feels about high school football. Yeah. So, I could see it happen. I mean,
you're getting his hopes up, man.
The stars would have to line. Now, there are a couple of ways you could go. I mean, we've heard about Niedermeyer perhaps going to the defensive side of the ball. GQ could come in, coach tight ends. He could coach running backs, receivers, quarterbacks, whatever.
He's just got so much Tennessee ties when it comes to high school ball around here. You bring him in, you automatically, at least with the high school head coaches around here, you build in that rapport.
No, I mean, everybody.
I can see that. Yeah.
And it's interesting because for a guy that absolutely just beat everybody's brains out for 10, 15 years, like he's pretty much universally beloved. Like in high school football circles, he could walk into any high school, in the state, basically, the coach there is going to know who he is, and with his personality, like they're gonna hit it off. So, I mean, I don't know it's going to happen. I know that Pruitt knows who he is, and like obviously Fulmer knows who he is. So, we'll see. I mean, I think it would be a benefit.
And for those who say, oh, well, why would you want to get rid of Chris Winkie, a Heisman Trophy quarterback? I say, look at a guy who's coached and is an offensive coordinator in D2. Granted, they did get their butts handed to him last week. It is what it is there. But a guy who's won a national championship at the lower level. I mean, the guy knows winning football. He knows how to coach quarterbacks. I mean, he's put how many Maryville quarterbacks has he put in D1 college?
Okay, T. Carp, we get it. We get it.
That's
you,
enough.
You're
standing
the case. We know the George Quarles resume.
I'm paying you.
Thank you, T. Carp. Appreciate it.
That's good.
I tell you what, man. You bring that dude George Quarles in, T. Carp, all those Maryville folks. Good they'd have God. A smile.
It's at least 4,000 more season tickets.
And if you want a good smile, you know where to go. That's Knoxville Smiles, where you're going to be treated as more than just a customer. The team at Knoxville Smiles will work with you as an individual to develop a game plan that puts you or keeps you on the road to optimal oral health function and appearance. Dr. Stephen Malone, Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles can fix your teeth so that your smile shines brighter than George Quarles after his 12th state title in a row or whatever it was he won. Set up your free, no-risk consultation today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Knoxville Smiles, creating beautiful smiles, one relationship at a time. And they've got Maryville's got Ravenwood and the Grimes kid this week.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Let's go Ravenwood.
Are those wait a minute, are we in Cookeville now?
Yeah, state championship.
When does that start? Because Alabama
Thursday.
Starts tomorrow, so it starts Thursday.
Yeah,
so they'll play two games a day there?
I have no idea how they stack them up.
Thursday, Friday,
it starts – does it start Thursday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
The D2 games are Thursday?
Yeah.
They will be televised locally, right?
Yeah, they'll have like 1, 3, and 5.
D2 usually.
I think it's 1, 3, and 5 Friday, and then 2, 4, and 6
Saturday.
So Maryville will be the last game.
Because I know Mike Keith and Withrow.
Yeah, they mix it up. It's insane that you have 9 state championship games for the state of Tennessee.
Dropping one again, going back down to 5.
Well, there's one team.
We had 7 now. We have 7 now.
One of those teams in the private school division is like 7-6. They're playing for a state championship.
Sure.
We'll let you in.
I mean, Fulton made the playoffs, and they were, 3-7? I mean, they got housed by Ray County, but
it's absurd. Phil is up next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive.
Hey, Zay, W.
Hello.
How you bearing trade, huh?
Doing all right, man. How about yourself?
I hear all the Maryville talk. That's kind of comical.
You enjoy it?
What D1 major college quarterbacks ever come out of Maryville to be any good? I can't think of any.
Patton Robinette.
Cade Thompson and Patton Robinette had decent careers.
Yeah, they were.
The lasting image of Patton Robinette is him scampering into the end zone
on a fake
beating
jump
us a couple of years ago. I mean,
he was a cotton candy. That's all I need to know. He played at Cotton Candy. He wasn't a.
And he beat
he had
us.
One game against us. He didn't
do
anything down there. Was he all SEC?
No.
That's what I thought.
Well, you keep moving the goalposts here.
I'm not moving the goalposts.
He has to be all SEC.
The best player that ever come out of there is Denny Spradlin, and that's way back in the day. I guess Bear might remember.
Good Lord. I forgot all about.
With all the incentives they've had all these years, they should have turned out better football players than that.
And they did have their pick of Blunt in Knox County. I mean, they did.
Well, I mean, I live Alcoa, but both of those schools have open zones, and they go as far as they can go. You know what I mean?
I love the open zones.
Yeah, and there's some open zones in Knoxville, too. But I don't
know why you would, because it's hurt West High School about as bad as anybody over the years.
Well, the one reason the West is good now is because Rule closed down.
There's a reason West
Rule
is good?
Rule closed down and it's helped a lot of schools in town.
Helped probably Fulton more than West.
So do y'all not have like a lot of Eric Taylor and Buddy Garrity type stuff going on here? Changing mailboxes?
Not to that degree. I don't
know,
man, anymore.
Open, they just have open zones. Like, every school's got some kind of – forever, kids can transfer into Maryville, Alcoa,
okay,
Fulton's got a program. It's a broadcasting program. But if you're – they get some kids in on that.
Yeah.
Catholic and Webb, just flat out, you know.
Why are you doing this? Do you understand how many DMs I'm about to get from high school football fanatics around here telling me how everything you just said is wrong? Yeah. Do you understand that?
I don't really care because, A, I'm not, and everybody in town knows it.
Exactly. Just tell the truth, Bear. I forgot what I was going to talk about today. I guess we'll go with this bowl we want to go. I want to play Minnesota because I think that's the winnable game. I don't want to play Michigan. We'd lose to Michigan, and I think we'd lose to Penn State if we played in a bowl game. I still, you know.
Why are you scared of Michigan, Phil?
Michigan.
It's because they have a legitimate he ain't a great quarterback. He's better than what we got behind center.
Shea?
Now we get down to it. All right, Phil.
All roads with Phil lead back.
I'm not going to go into it today. I've already wasted 2 days on it. I'll just wait until we'll see what happens in the bowl game and then what kind of how good a recruiting class we come up with. But the Jay Hardy guys, if Tennessee had anything to do, they would already took this thing, had it taken care of, and you never would have made that visit to Auburn.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have 5 4-star in-state defensive linemen, 0 of those guys committed. And you could say, well, you know, after the first 2 games, you got to get some commitments from these guys over the summer, man. If you're an elite recruiter, you go at it, you get them committed, you keep them committed, and you sign them.
And yeah, maybe especially local ones, I agree with you.
Yeah, maybe you can't go for 5 for 5. I mean, that's a lot of defensive linemen, but you ought to be able to get
2 for 5.
Or 3, like the ones you want, you identify them and you go sign them.
They're recruiting better in Memphis than they are in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It's amazing, Phil, but it's true.
But Auburn's known to – I have a ranch down there the recruits go to or something, some kind of retreat.
That's what you were telling me about, Trey.
The barn?
Pat Dye's ranch. His ranch, his cabin or something like that, which –
I appreciate you, Russ, taking our personal conversation onto the air.
I mean, Phil brought it up.
Well, you didn't have to say Trey told me.
I mean, I didn't. Like, it's some sort of rumor. I mean.
Thanks, bud.
I didn't say anything. What? We share things here on the drive.
Yeah, personally.
Guys, Tennessee's got to get down and get dirty. Just do like all of them, like Russell said. We need to get down and get dirty and do what everybody else does and get ball players. That's what it's all about.
Let's get Johnny Majors a big 6,000 square foot cabin in the Smokies that we bring recruits to and just turn them loose. It'll be like the real world back in the day. You just throw the recruits in there, give them all the
hot tubs,
women and booze and whatever else.
We'll come back Sunday for you.
Yes. Guys, is Euros going to get cleared, or what's the delay to say yes or no?
I don't know. Ask Santa
wait
Claus.
6 2 1 months to tell him?
Probably.
Honestly,
I've stopped following it, Phil. I can't imagine that
he tweets it out every day that he's praying for it, so if he tweets out enough, maybe it'll come true.
I'm praying for it, too.
Well, I'm praying for it, too, after watching that Florida State game, but I've seen a lot of bad basketball on TV this year. Tennessee maybe just win 20 games because there's not that many great teams out there this year. See.
Thank you, Phil. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio.
Knoxville's home for sports radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Trey, hanging out with you here. It is Tuesday afternoon, December the 3rd edition of the show. I will be exiting stage left here in just a few moments.
Behind the fourth wall.
I get to go to... Did I talk about this on the air already?
Yeah, you did.
12-year-old daughter's...
Several times.
Christmas choral concert. I have no idea what to expect. Never been to one of these before. I don't know if it's going to be awful or great.
You've never been to one of these?
Somewhere in between.
I've been pleasantly surprised going to my kids' stuff like
yeah?
that.
Yeah?
The band stuff, yeah.
You think they'll sing Christmas songs?
Probably, yeah.
It's pretty fun. Yeah. I've been to my nieces before. My nieces.
A lot of them are pretty good. Our mutual friend Derek, his kid's really good.
I'll give you a full and complete report tomorrow, all right?
I'm going to need you to go live.
You want me to Periscope it?
Yeah.
Is she in the band?
Probably. No, I just said it's a choral.
Right? Yeah, I heard that part. I didn't know, if, you know, because I know you fancy yourself to be somewhat of a musician of note, although for some reason I'm not allowed to know what your old band name was.
Jesus.
That's the
walks.
Way they do it. You're either in band or chorus now. I wanted her to go in band, but she didn't want to do it.
She's not showing an interest in that that strat?
No. Nope.
Maybe little man will.
Let's get a call from who's next? Jamie. John Tweet, no more?
No, he dropped. Jamie.
Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Russ, I'm just glad they still call it a Christmas.
The winter festival celebration commences this evening.
Heathens. Guys, I was looking back on the stats of the Vanderbilt game, and I used the Score app. It's a good app. I mean, to look at lines for the games and check scores. But my Score app it must be messed up. It's telling me that JG only completed 6 out of 30 passes, or something like 35% for 130 yards or something against the worst team in the SEC.
He was not
at
sure.
Home.
It was a wet ball.
Was it?
Wet ball, one hand. Still got a bunch of hardware in the other one. Had a lot going on last weekend. We're going to cut him a little bit of slack.
Are we?
I am. We're bowl eligible. Do you think we'd be bowl eligible with Shroud or Maurer?
Sure. Why not?
Because Maurer couldn't make it through a game, Jamie.
Maurer he doesn't suck as bad as JG does. JG will go down in UT lore as the quarterback. Not every quarterback can suck like JG can. I mean, it's special.
But
once in a generation.
But, Jamie, Brian Maurer couldn't make it through a game without getting knocked out.
Well,
he can be.
I like the way he played, though. I mean, he was young. He was learning that SEC.
I did, too.
Scramble.
I liked him a lot.
He's got to learn.
I'm with Jamie here.
Really? He's got to learn that you can't do what you were able to do in high school, and he was figuring it out.
I'm with Jamie here. I'm not going to use the word sucks. I just think Garantano is average. He is who he is. I think the ceiling for him is 7 or 8 wins, and that might be the ceiling anyway next year, but I would hope that we aspire to more than that, and I don't see him. I don't see us competing with the Floridas, Georgias, and Alabamas, which is the next step, by the way. You know, yep. We talked about you got to reestablish dominance over the bottom feeders. Okay, we did that. What's the next step? It's being competitive with those upper echelon teams, and I don't expect to win them all, but I expect to be competitive. We were not competitive with 2 of those 3 teams this year, and truth be told, we probably wouldn't have been very competitive with Alabama if Tua had not gotten injured. So for me, I just look at it in like it doesn't have to be an animosity-laden thing. Like you say, listen, JG, we love you. Like it's a great way that your story ended up here. You deserve a fresh start. We deserve a fresh start. And let's all move on and agree to hope for the best.
Russ, I just think that's an insult to the word average to call JG average. But, the feel-good story, I mean, we want to prop somebody up so bad around here. That's how, you know, that's why we're in our 11th year of rebuilding. JG, a comeback story. I mean, he plays against terrible competition and wins and, I don't know. He makes Steve Alatorre look like an All-American.
I mean, he threw for over 400 yards against a top 10 nationally defense on the road in about 30-degree weather, Jamie. I mean, I'm not sitting here calling him the second coming of Joe Montana or anything, but to say that he sucks is just inaccurate. I mean, I'm sorry, you're just wrong.
We don't get to a bowl game this year.
And I'm trying to agree with you with your larger point that it's probably best for the program if we move in a different direction starting next season.
Yeah, but what also you look at it too, is JG going to force the hand of Brian Maurer?
I don't know.
You've got Harrison Bailey coming in. Brian Maurer might see the writing on the wall. He's got enough tape down with games that he's been in this year that he can take that and go play somewhere else and probably start.
Yeah, but if I'm him, I'm not moving anywhere because, I mean, the story on him, the book on him right now is he's injury prone.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, you've been on campus for less than a year.
Is he going to go through another year as a third string quarterback?
Why not, man? I mean, what is it with this instant gratification culture that you got to wait 2 years for you? You don't always get it handed to you. Sometimes you got to wait around and wait your turn, and when it comes your way, you jump on it and you take advantage of it. Like,
all I'm saying is the kid's got to prove that he can make it through a game without getting knocked out.
Well, also, okay, I agree with you on that one too, and Jamie. But also, so you're saying that Brian Maurer should stick around for two more years just to wait and see if he has a chance at a starting position against Harrison Bailey?
He shouldn't even be thinking in that regard. He should be thinking, I'm a college freshman, just finished up my first year. I had some ups and downs. I got a lot of improvement to make. Let's buckle down and let's get in that playbook again and continue to improve and see what happens next year.
Would you say the same thing for another position?
Yeah.
I mean, if he's soft enough to where he's just going to turn around and transfer out because he doesn't think he can beat the other two guys out, then, you know, don't let the door hit you, buddy.
So would you say the same thing about JT Shrout then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, this
– I don't buy that.
I just hate what we've gotten to in the sports world. It's like, oh, man, I didn't get exactly what I wanted immediately.
So I'm
going to leave and start over somewhere else.
But we've been talking about for the last 2 months that we all believe JT Shrout's going to be leaving. So your argument is, okay, I'm okay with JT Shrout leaving because he's probably not going to play, but you're not okay with Brian Maurer leaving.
I never said that I was okay with him leaving. I would like to see Shrout stay, battle for his spot, improve, develop, and see what happens down the road. But it just seems to be that it's a foregone
order.
So what? You never know what's going to happen. He got to play this year, didn't he?
Yeah, for what, 3 series?
Okay, well, if he does whatever he needs
with Shrout,
to do.
I wouldn't care because, I mean, we are starting a guy basically with one hand over Shrout.
Okay, so then that's the argument, though. Like, you don't care if he leaves, but you care if Maurer leaves.
Yeah, because Maurer's shown glimpses of a lot better. I would like to think that he would be made of a little bit stern.
I mean, I just can't.
If he's scared to compete with Harrison Bailey and Jarrett Guarantano,
I don't know what we're sitting here talking about. Are we talking about Brian Maurer, like, transferring? Like, where did that come from?
I don't know.
No, I'm talking about it in the sense of that Jarrett Guarantano's coming back next year. Those were his words.
No, he hasn't said that.
He said, okay.
He alluded to that, but he never said he was coming back.
Are you going to come back to Knoxville? I'm a Tennessee Vol. Whatever. Yeah. If he comes back next year, you're going to have Harrison Bailey, Brian Maurer, and JT Shrout behind Jarrett Guarantano.
Because not necessarily. We can't
do, let's have a competition.
I think he's going to have
you think we're going to do this again? Like, we're going to do this whole thing again.
We better.
We've seen if JG
is a
starter.
We better.
Brian Maurer,
listen,
Harrison.
If they just say Jarrett Guarantano's our starter next year and that's the way it is, we're not going to improve, man. He's not going to improve. Maurer's not going to improve. There needs to be an open competition, whether Guarantano's here or not, to be the starting quarterback next year because he has not done enough to just be handed the job.
Do
I mean,
you trust
we
Jeremy Pruitt's love,
year.
Though, for Jarrett Guarantano?
Trust his love? What does that mean?
Because he's put him in situations and played him this year at times where you would think that he would absolutely have no chance of playing.
Well, no, I think
no
I'm
chance.
Just, I'm just going on what Pruitt said. Pruitt, in his professional opinion, being the head coach of Tennessee, felt like Guarantano gave Tennessee the best chance to win. And he was right. Maurer can't make it through a game, and Shrout's Shrout.
Okay, so you're going into next season with the same philosophy.
No, because they're not going to be freshmen anymore.
You're going to be another year in the weight room, another year in the program, another year with Chaney. Harrison Bailey's coming in.
Here's what I think, and Jamie, I'm sorry for commandeering your phone call here, but
go ahead, sorry,
I just feel like the best thing for Tennessee would be Guarantano gets to go wherever he wants to go and have – if it's Rutgers, fine. If it's somewhere else, fine. Like, just –
I just think if he leaves, that's
where
he's
going.
He
just needs a clean start, and so do we. And I think the best thing for Tennessee would be, look, we're going to go – Brian Maurer, you're the guy now, unless, you know, Harrison Bailey shows up and he's fantastic, which, okay, great. That would be awesome. But if not, all of a sudden, Maurer goes from, okay, I'm just kind of cruising along to, oh, I'm the guy. And Chaney's got to get him ready now. And Chaney's got to get Harrison Bailey ready in case Maurer gets hurt again. And if they both get hurt, you're down to your third string quarterback in the season lost anyway because nobody has three good quarterbacks. So that's fine. But I feel like if we want to get to 9 or 10 wins next year, it ain't going to happen with Garantano.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Bear, I would think that back to Maurer, though, I think there was more of a situation where he was playing against the top defenses in the league as his first ever starts. I think that contributed more to him being quote-unquote injury-prone. I think if he'd have got to play in the Mississippi States and the South Carolinas and the Kentucky games.
Jamie, he did. That's one of his major injuries was against Mississippi State because he was doing something. It was just a boneheaded freshman move. You got to know that you're not in high school anymore. You're in the SEC. When you're out in the open field running like that, you have to slide. Yeah, but the margin for error is very slim in the SEC.
I mean, JG can get out there and stink it. I mean, for every 400-yard game he gives us 12 suck games. So
he's JG's also a lot more durable.
Jamie, if JG decides after the bowl game, it's like, guys, appreciate everything you've done for me, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, love you.
Deuces.
Peace out. I'm going to finish my career. Will you at least say, wish the kid luck and, like, we're moving on too?
Yeah. Okay. Man, for sure.
That's good.
Yeah, definitely. But, guys, I'll say this about, I just think that year three, the criteria that you're going to have to reach, I just don't know that he's got enough horses to get there. I'm talking about Pruitt. I mean, his recruiting is lackluster. I've been listening to this whole last segment about we've got three four-star defensive linemen in our home state, and he can't get them.
Five
of them. Oh, my God. And meanwhile, you got Nathaniel Rutherford on Twitter talking about pumping up the 566th best player in the country who's visiting Tennessee. I'm sorry, guys. Last time I looked, you're not going to 566th best player in the country this your way to Atlanta. I'm sorry. You know, sure, we've got guys on our team that were three-star prospects. You need them. You need guys that are going to be there 5 years. You got to have them. But they got to be peppered in with championship players. And year three, you ain't going to get there signing guys that just ain't getting offered by anybody else. I'm sorry. I hate it. I hate to rain on everybody's – I just don't see it. I just don't see these recruiting good enough. I always thought at the end of this year, if he could get an uptick in recruiting, that we might have a chance to have a good coach here. He might be a good coach, but he's going way too slow to stay ahead of the curve. Guys like me are in the minority in year two. I'll be in the majority in year three if we struggle around with teams. You know, if we can't get within three touchdowns of Georgia and Florida and Alabama in year three – you guys will start getting back on the train like with me.
That's where it ends. That's where it always comes back to. Jamie, thanks, man. We got to run. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
There'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
We got a lot of nice girls.
I do think Jamie's criticism of our recruiting is valid. We're not recruiting very well right now. And Tennessee fan, we always do this every year. We tell ourselves.
You chastised me like 2 segments ago for throwing off on the kid that we just picked up, Snake from Nevada.
Some wizardry.
I mean.
Talk about me twisting myself, contortionist.
No, here's the deal. I do like Harrison Bailey. And if we close with some of these defensive linemen, like, I'm not saying the class is bad. It's about what we've been doing for 5 years. Like, we've been finishing between 10 and 20 for that time. And I guess, like, I shouldn't say that we're not recruiting well, but we're not recruiting well enough. If the goal is to compete with Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, then you have to recruit like Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. Doesn't mean you can't get lucky and beat one of those teams, but you're not going to beat all three of them. Like, and again, don't expect to beat all three of them right away next year, but that's the next step, is to catch those teams, and you're going to have to recruit better than we're doing right now. I realize the Georgia State, BYU, you start out 0-2, it collapses. We were in on all these guys over the summer, the Rakeem Jarrett, the Trayvon Ribkas, who's the tight end from Eric Gilbert.
About. Yeah.
Like all these guys that we were in on, all of a sudden you lose those two games, poof, they're gone. Like, I get that, but I mean that's part of it is you have to not lose those games so that you can get those guys.
But look at the situation. What have we been hearing since August? It's always been Harrison Bailey, Harrison Bailey, Harrison Bailey, Harrison Bailey, Harrison Bailey. Can you name
Except
me
for
four
window,
other recruits in this class that have big name potential?
T. Hodge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come off on the local kid, but I mean, he's not going to be one of the crown jewels of this class. If we sign Tyler Barron, that's going
if
to
you
be
sign Darnell. Then that's a big name.
Washington. Yeah. I mean, he's.
I feel like Cooper is.
Yeah, but I mean, like nationally, every school usually has that one big player they have in their class that they can say, "Oh, damn, okay, they got him." Does Tennessee have that right now?
No, nobody outside of Georgia, really. Alabama, Clemson really get those guys right now.
That's what I'm saying, man. Is like last year we had what did Fulmer say during the spring game? He said we had five guys that everybody wanted to sign.
Right.
We have to do that three more times and stack that on top of each other.
Yeah.
And last year he's talking about Darnell Wright, Wanya Morris, Toho To'o, and
would you say Roman's even in there?
No, I mean, he was kind of a diamond in the rough. Yeah. He talked about the four- and five-star guys that we signed. And where are those guys? You know, Bailey, and I'm not poo-pooing Bailey. It's a quarterback. Like, that's
Yeah, but they went hard out of that kid that ended up committing A&M.
That's Haynes Chaney, King.
Yeah, Chaney really wanted him.
Well, because they're using Harrison Bailey as the headliner of this recruiting class.
Like, I think Chaney wanted him because he's a – Well, he just thought he was a better quarterback than Bailey.
Right, I agree with that. But Tennessee, wouldn't you agree Tennessee has positions other than quarterback that they need to take care of?
You help all over.
Right.
I mean, that's
– I mean, it's true. Somebody tweeted it out. I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you've done this since the early 90s. You get a top-shelf quarterback, the other players will come.
You've won 16 games the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You need help everywhere. All right, I got to run.
See you, buddy. Y'all. Have a good time.
I will. You guys play nice.
We'll try.
Hour number three of the drive. Trey will have your top five coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.